In this month, I don't know how long it's going to be, but we're going to start a series on why worship matters. What does worship mean? How do we worship? What are the blessings of worship? What happens in your life when you worship God? And just to get the understanding of the power in what God has invited us to do to worship Him. My goal and my prayer through this series will be that we as a body, as a church, that through this series will actually create an atmosphere in the spirit, because we've understood the power of worship, that when people walk in here or when you're here, you realize that this atmosphere we create through worship not only changes others, but it changes us. Amen. And I believe that when we gather together in that moment, because we have tapped into this power of worship, not only will it transform us, but it will transform our families and everything about our lives. I'm believing God that as we go through this, you know, the needle will move forward in terms of worship. And I believe that, you know, everyone that will go through this series will get lost in the presence of God. We get lost in just ourselves, so that we get lost in Jesus, in who He is. It's my prayer that we will not have any of us spectate, but everybody to participate into the greatness of who God is. So here we'll, in this moment, we're going to get the understanding through Scripture what it is. And as Rico said, you know, we all have had misconceptions about worship, particularly myself. When I just gave my life to Christ, I always came to church and I really didn't understand what worship is. And I always didn't really tune in or even open my heart into it. And so I just thought was just a warm-up for the pastor. And I thought it was something that they did to get everybody warmed up before the preaching, waiting everybody to come into church and the preaching. And that's how I thought, oh, worship is just to get ready. No, and I didn't realize that it was one of the greatest part of service. Now, as we go through this series, we'll go broader to know that worship is beyond the sessions when we sing. And worship goes beyond to that. It's heart, it's mind, it's everything about you. It's not only what you do here on Sunday morning, but it's what you do Monday morning, Tuesday morning, all through the week, and how you live your life. So we'll get to that point, because I want us to understand that worship is not contained in the 15, 20 minutes we have here on Sunday morning. But yet, understanding what worship is will actually empower the 15, 20 minutes we have Sunday morning. Make sense? Right? I'll say that one more time. Worship is not the 15, 20 minutes of singing that we have. It's not contained in those minutes. It's everything about us, who we are. But once we understand that part of what worship is all about, then it's going to enrich the 15, 20 minutes, whatsoever time we have here on Sunday morning, to worship God. Make sense? Okay. All right. Amen. So, hold on. Let's see. So, why worship matters. Now, the word worship comes from two English words, okay? The first woe is from the word worthy, okay? And the word ship comes from the context of quality of that which is contained. And so, in other words, it's the weight. And the English word uses the word ship to just put weight into that which they're talking about, the quality of what they're talking about. For instance, when they say friendship, they use the word ship to describe the quality and the value that is in friend. So they say friendship. Or sportsmanship, they put the quality of a person that he is a good sportsman. You know, sportsmanship. So he plays good. He's a good sport. So because they're putting quality in that which they're describing. So worthy when we say worship, it was a word meant to put quality in the attribute of declaring God as worthy. So when we say worship, it's two words saying worthy and ship. We're putting weight into that which we're describing as worthy. Make sense? So that's the English word. When they say, let's worship, we go to worship, that's what it meant. And worship for us as Christians means to declare worth, or to attribute worth to one we know that deserves all of it. In other words, in biblical terms, it's like to declare praise to God. And when we speak of worship or sing about worship, we declare that too because we want everything about us to declare that, God, you are worthy of everything I could imagine. So I'm putting quality, and I'm putting weight in declaring that my God is worthy. He's awesome. He's worthy. Worthy. Now, we all understand what the word worthy means. So I'm saying that God is worthy of everything about me because of who he is. So worship is all that I am. Worship is everything that I am reacting rightly to who God is. Okay, everything that I am, responding rightly to who God is. Worship is everything about me, everything that I am, from my temperament, my personality, my design, my makeup, whatever I have, all that I am, responding rightly to all that God is. And part of what this series is going to be about is going to be breaking that very statement down. We're going to, all that I am, responding rightly to who that he all is. So, here this morning, what I need us to understand, that the subject of worship, it is not whether we will worship. It is not whether we will worship, but it is who and what and how will we worship. Because everybody has been created to worship, and we know how to worship so many other things, and we were trained to worship so many other things, and when we come to God, we need to be trained how to worship him, because everybody is a worshiper. So the question is not whether you will worship, but the question is who, what, and how will you worship the Creator? See, on this Sunday, as many of us are aware, and as we come together in corporate worship, the most significant thing that we can break this series, which is going to be the underlying scripture in through this series, is from John chapter 4, verse 20 to 23. Now, if you have the red letter Bible, how many of you have the red letter Bible? Now, you got to have one of those Bibles, because when you see red letters, you know Jesus said that. Now, I'm not saying black only and good, but I'm saying when you have red letter, you know something's powerful about that. That came out of the mouth of Jesus himself. So in John chapter 4, verse 4:23, Jesus, this is what he said about worthyship, okay? He said, but the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father. Now, true worshipers, which implies there's what? False worshiping. So he said the true worshipers, and I know about you, and I know about me, I want to be a true worshiper. I don't want to be a false worshiper, but the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And coming weeks, we're going to break what that means. What does it mean to worship God in spirit? What does it mean to worship God in truth? For the Father, now look, I think that's so powerful, guys. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Can you imagine God is seeking people to worship him? God is seeking. Now, this came out of the mouth of our Savior Jesus. He says the Father is seeking such to worship. Now, therefore, if that is true, that means worship ain't only about the 15, 20 minutes here. Because I don't know if God will be waiting for the 15, 20 minutes once a week to be worshiped. It's more than that. So we're going to dig deep into it. We're going to find out. And I can't wait once the Holy Spirit helps us to gain the revelation, the knowledge that we come in this place and we all let loose and yield to the Holy Spirit and allow his glory and his presence to fill this house. That when you come in, you know that the presence of God was there because you allowed him to touch you, to move in you. Because the presence of God is always here, but many of us might leave this building without ever testing his presence, not only because he wasn't here, but because we didn't tap in. And we want to learn how to tap into God's presence because the presence of God is here. Just like this light right in my face. If they didn't plug it in, there'll be no light coming forth. But because there's no light coming forth doesn't mean there's no electricity. But I got to plug it in to have the electricity illuminate, in this instance, my face. It's a something with the presence of God because he said where two or three gather in my name, I'll be there. So the moment two people show up in this building for the name of Jesus, his presence is already here waiting. But the sad thing is when you come into God's presence and never know how to tap into his presence to get the power of his presence flow through you and you can leave this place just the way you came in. Now we want to just learn how to tap into this because this verse says the Father is seeking such to worship him. Now, God never asks us to do something that has no benefit to us. He never will tell us to do something just for himself. God, our God is the most selfless, almighty there is. Everything that he invites you and I to do, when you analyze it and look at it, it's all because you and I get the most benefit out of it. So when God says, I'm seeking such to worship me, we're going to see what is the blessing when I turn my life around to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, this is just an introduction, guys, all right? But we're going to get into all this. I'm excited, and it's going to be awesome. Now, look at verse 24. He says, God is what? Spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, you can't wait to understand what that means. What does that mean for me to come into the presence of God? And it's going to change your life because once you begin to comprehend this, you'll find yourself laying prostrate in your own bedroom, in your own house, just on your mind, just worshiping God and experience the power of just of his presence. Worship is very vital for us as believers. Now, God, if the Bible says he's seeking, that means he's interested or he desires. Or he wants to. How many of you would spend time seeking something you don't care about? You ever lost your keys in the morning? What did you do? You spent time seeking for those keys because you needed them. But say in the morning you can't find your watch. How many would spend time seeking a watch? You'd be like, you know what, Jesse? You'd be like, you know what? Unless you're a watch addict, but otherwise you're like, man, I can't find my watch, no big deal. I gotta go. Right? But when you need your car to get 20 miles away, then you spend time doing what? Seeking. Because it's not just an item of luxury. It's important. It matters. And when the Bible says God is seeking, that means worship matters to God. And I know to us, we may have all these misconceptions. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's an entertainment. Maybe it's a part of a service. Maybe some that I can just look at and see them do it. But to God, worship matters. It matters because it's seeking those that will worship him in truth and in spirit. You see, it doesn't do us any good to not know the power of worship, to not know the value of worship, to not know how significant worship is. It doesn't do us any good. And so that's why it's important that we're going to be talking about worship. And this, you see, one of the greatest, I think the most epic verses in the Bible is in John chapter 3, verse 30. When John said, let me see if I can find it right there. He says, he must what? And I must decrease. I think that's the most powerful verses, you know. I mean, so powerful. Because when you break that down, it actually summarizes what worship is, that he must increase and I must decrease. And when we worship God, we're saying to the one we are worshiping, he's worth more and I am worth less. I'm not worthless, but I'm worth less. And he is worth more. He is increasing and I'm decreasing. In worship, it's all about magnifying, glorifying, exalting, glorifying his name, magnifying his name, and minimizing myself. Part of our Christian doctrine is self to be brought under control, to die to self, right? To realize it's not about me. It's not about my desire, my words, but it's about him, his glory. And Jesus said, if any man desires to follow me, let him do what? Deny himself and let him then carry his cross and then follow me. Then he will be my disciple, because you can't follow Jesus when you're still so consumed about who you are and about you. Because when it's all about you and your desires and your want and you're consumed in who you are, you can never see the glory of God. Part of your Christian walk is to deny yourself. So in worship, I decrease that he might increase. And as I declare in worship, I'm saying, God, you are worth more. You are worth more. And as I declare to God he's worth more, I'm saying to myself, I am worth less. But God is greater in me and he deserves my worship, and I give it all to God. You see, part of biblical culture in worship, when they worshiped in the Bible, they actually laid prostrate. Part of their worship, they'll go down to whoever they're worshiping and they get their head right on the floor and die in the dirt before the one they worshiped. Kings were worshiped like that. When a king walked around, people would go down and put their heads on the ground as a king passed by. It was an act of worship saying, you are worth more. You are glorious than I am. And so people in the Bible, when they worship God, they'll lay prostrate. They'll just put their hands down. I mean, it wasn't the most chilling place to be, but it was an act stating you are greater. And then when they worship God, they bow down. They put their heads, because the head is the greatest part of your being. It's the top of you. But when you put it in the ground, you're saying the top of me is under you, God. I'm putting right under my feet. It's not about me. I decrease. I minimize myself and I maximize who you are. I glorify you. It's not about me. It's about you. I remember that helped me so much because we all have preference, and there'll be times when worship will be going and I'm like, man, that song is not my style. Oh, that music is not my style. But yet it glorified God. But because of some of me, I'd be like, I won't worship that because that ain't my style. And I didn't realize that I was keeping my head up. And I needed to realize, you know what? It wasn't about me. It was about him. If this song glorifies the greater one in me, then it doesn't matter my preference. It only matters, is he glorified? Is he exalted? Is he magnified? Let him increase and let me what? Decrease. Amen. So, a lot of times, you know, many of us haven't found our purpose, and we struggle with that. One of the greatest questions that many of us ask is, what's my purpose? What am I here to do? I know there can be specifics of what you're here to do, but here's what God has made plain for everyone here today and each of us. One of our main purposes is to worship God. And that's what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's holy nation. You are his special person. That you may do what? Can I hear you say that? You may do what? Proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. There's a purpose on my life. There's a purpose on your life that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I am special. I'm chosen. I'm God's own. I'm a royal priesthood. This is who God says you are. And if God says that's who you are, then that's who you are. So if you look to yourself in a mirror and say, right, you know what, regardless of my education background, regardless of my economic background, regardless of what the world may label me, regardless of anything that people call me, this is what I know that I am. I'm God's own special, royal, God's chosen, God's special, and I'm created by God to declare the praises of him who called me. Now, if I never knew how to do that, then I'd be living below my purpose in life. If I never knew how to worship God, if I never knew what worship is all about, if I never knew the disciplines of worship, if I never understand why we lift our hands in worship, why I never understand why I have to declare with my mouth in praise, if I never understood that worship wasn't about me, but was about his glory, if I never understood the call to worship, then I could live my life and live it in vain because I never fulfilled the purpose of my Creator, which was to proclaim the praises of him who called me. So this is why this is important, guys. This is why we're going to take some time through this month and talk about worship. This is why we're going to spend some time, because my prayer and my goal is we'll understand the call of worship and cultivate the heart of worship. And realize, you know what, this is more than a song. Because here's the thing, guys. A lot of people in many churches sing songs, but few worship. And we want to be worshipers. We want to learn how to worship God because it's power that changes us. And I'm excited because we'll get through many texts in the Bible and see what happened when people worship God, and it's going to be awesome. Can I get an amen? Amen? So we were called for the purpose of praising God. That is one job description that every forgiven, blood-washed, called, sanctified child of God has to declare how God is worthy. Worthy more than everything else in the world put together. Amen. So I want us this morning to take some time and worship God. And I want to ask you, my brothers, to take the mics. We're going to spend a few minutes before we leave today. We're not going to do discussion on tables. We're going to worship God. And I just want you to pour your heart out on the words on the screen. Lift your hands up, all right? Just get lost. Try to say, God, I want to experience this, because this is not about songs. This is about worshiping God. It's declaring His worthy and His glory and His praise, amen? So we're going to spend the next 15 or so minutes here before we leave. I just want to invite you into worship, so that you can experience something. And I'm excited that by the end of this series, I see a dynamic people of worshipers. I see coming in on Sunday morning and people are in corners on the ground, on the chair, just worshiping God. I see people worshiping God. The presence of God just touches you when you're worshiping. I see you even getting healed. I see you coming in and say, you know what? I came here with a headache, but during the worship, I just worship God. His presence touched me. The headache is gone. I see you just, we are worshiping, and you don't know what's going on, and you begin crying, and you don't know why you're crying, because maybe the Lord is doing something and you're healing you. You see, many times we think that what we need healing is physical healing, but some of us, we're so wounded emotionally, and no one is going to heal you emotionally, but God can. You can be in worship, and God touches you and heals you of emotional wounds that are deep inside out of you that no man can see. You see, we can walk so long in life and we mask all these emotional wounds and pain we have because we are trying to mask them. But you can be in the presence of God and God says, you know, I see that pain deep inside you, and He touches you, and you have a moment of your life, just you and the Lord, because you put your guards down, you left it, you surrendered, you say, God, I'm laying prostrate before you in my heart. It's not about me, it's about you. And as you come before the Lord, God says, you know what? I want to touch you. And He may heal you something that nobody had no idea about. Some you may have carried for 20 years or 10 years, 5 years in your life, just deep down, and God touches you because you came before Him in worship. We can have that. We can experience that. Because we begin to realize that coming here on Sunday morning ain't just about the ritual and the routine and the same thing we do. It's about worshiping God and encountering His presence, because we realize this wasn't just about a song service. It wasn't about a preacher preaching. It's about us coming with our hearts to worship the one and only, the lover of our souls, Jesus Christ, the healer, our deliverer. Amen.